Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, what do you think of the pick? Judge Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, nominated to become the next justice in the Supreme Court. We're going to be looking at both sides this next half hour.
That's right. It was televised last night in a very apprentice-like way. The president announced Judge Kavanaugh as his choice.
Tonight, it is my honor and privilege to announce that I will nominate Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the United States Supreme Court.
And then, of course, people started weighing in right and left. That's what you're going to get a chance to do. If you have questions, thoughts, concerns, feel free to join this conversation as we present both sides. Our phone number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226.
All right. Joining us now is David Asp. He's an attorney with Lockridge, Grundle, and Nowen. Hope I'm saying that right. Did I say that right?
Lockridge, Grundle, Nowen. That's right.
Okay, good, good, good. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but David, it sounds like you think this is a good pick.
I do. Thank you, and thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we saw last night is that Judge Kavanaugh is exactly the type of judge that you would expect a Republican president to appoint, and that's true for this particular Republican president who offered a list of nominees that he campaigned with and promised to appoint from, and Judge Kavanaugh was on that list. But it also would be true from any Republican president, really because of Judge Kavanaugh's distinguished track record and history. He had a number of high-level positions at the White House and Justice Department, and he has a track record as a judge, 12 years on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. He's written more than 300 opinions. And one of the things that is remarkable about those opinions is that they're often cited by other judges. He's a judge that's influential and that his opinions are often relied on and cited and even adopted by the Supreme Court. He's had over a dozen opinions, I believe, adopted by the court as its reasoning, sometimes even in dissent where he's taken his own view. So I think he's the type of pick that maybe 25 years ago would easily have been confirmed 99-0. And it's not surprising that he's the president's nominee now and fits in the mold of those who have been confirmed.
We know that Judge Kavanaugh, sir, this is Jordana. We know that Judge Kavanaugh served on Kenneth Starr's special counsel while investigating Bill Clinton. And he's since written a position that presidents should not be, investigated while they are in office. Now, of course, some on the Democratic side are saying, well, this is the reason that President Trump appointed him because it frees him from Mueller's investigation. What are your thoughts on that? And do you agree or disagree?
I think it's a really bad argument to make against Judge Kavanaugh. And first of all, I would say that, you know, his track record is probably best reflected in his opinions. But if you go back to special counsel and law review articles he's written, things like that, and that one in particular, which was appeared in the Minnesota Law Review, he wasn't saying that courts should find that presidents can't be investigated or can't be indicted. To the contrary, he was saying that Congress should pass a law in ensuring that result. And so if anything, it's plausible to infer that he believes the opposite, that he believes that the Constitution would allow for the president to be indicted because Congress hasn't passed that law. So I think just a review of the article that you referred to shows that criticism to be off base.
But it also kind of proves that if he were to have to rule on whether or not a president could be investigated, he would rule in favor of the president, saying that they shouldn't be investigated.
No, I don't think that's right at all. I think he expressed a policy position, but he understands that his policy provision isn't in the law right now. Congress didn't pass that law. And as I said, the inference from his article would show that he believes the Constitution doesn't prevent the president from being indicted. So I think that he hasn't made that position clear, and the article doesn't show that.
He wrote in the 2009 Minnesota Law Review, and I'm quoting, "Even the lesser burdens of a criminal investigation, including preparing for questioning by criminal investigators, are time-consuming and distracting. Like civil suits, criminal investigations take the president's focus away from his or her responsibilities to the people. And a president who is concerned about an ongoing criminal investigation is almost inevitably going to do a worse job as president." But again, your interpretation is he's not saying that only Congress can investigate the president. Is that your read?
I'm saying that what he's suggesting there is that Congress should pass a law that would lead to that policy result. And but Congress did not pass that law, so he was expressing a policy view. It doesn't mean that that's how he would rule, because there's no law that does that, and he doesn't believe that the Constitution prevents an indictment or investigation of a president.
Okay.
We have a call from Ken in Anoka. I think he's got a question. Hi, Ken.
Yes, I listened to the president and Judge Kavanaugh's his complete speech. And obviously, he's an extremely intelligent man and a fine family. He's Catholic. I'm Catholic. That has no bearing. But he's just a decent fellow, obviously, or he wouldn't be in that position. And he obviously knows the law. And I did a little checking just on some of his past cases and how he's voted. And he hasn't always taken conservative opinions. He has kind of gone both ways, and he might not necessarily be as in past cases like Judge Berger. He was, you know, everybody thought he would be a conservative, a pure conservative, and then when he got on there, he kind of went both ways. He in fact, to the consternation of Reagan and some of the others, that he didn't go the Republican way or conservative way. He was fair. He went both ways. So,
well, Ken, let's ask
what you want. What you want to see. You want to see somebody that. Now, with that said, I am a Democrat, union member, and I'd like to see, I guess, some little retribution. I'd like to see him hung up or held up. I guess a little tit for tat, the way they treated President Obama's his appointment, didn't let him be voted on until after the election. I'd like to see him be held up until, let's see what happens in November. And I know that's a long time, but they did that to us. So I'd like to see him be held up and see what happens with the after the election, if there's a swing, and then see what happens.
Thank you, Ken.
Good call. But David, can you respond to that?
Can that happen with a Republican majority?
Well, I don't think it's likely to happen. I mean, apart from your caller's view of retribution, the standard that Mitch McConnell applied in 2016 had to do with presidential election years, because president appoints judges. There is a history of Supreme Court nominees being appointed and confirmed during other election years, that is, non-presidential election years. Justice Kagan was confirmed in 2010, Breyer, I believe, 94. And no one at that time suggested that they should delay it for the congressional election. So there's not really a history of that. I'd also like to comment on the first point your caller made, which I think is a good one, which is it has to do with how Judge Kavanaugh views his role as a judge. You know, he really has pushed back against this idea that I think is too common in the discussion here, that the judge's decisions are sort of predetermined based on their own policy preferences or views, or maybe the president who appointed them. And Judge Kavanaugh has been very clear when he writes about what a judge should do, in saying, you know, the judge's job is to interpret the law, read the statute as written, read the Constitution as written, mindful of history and tradition, and don't make up things that aren't there, but don't shy away from things that are there. So it's different than enforcing his just his policy views. He has a very clear view of what a judge should do.
And last question quickly, he's a big believer in precedent. He said, "We follow precedent." He added that to be a good judge, one has to follow not just the letter, but also the spirit of the law. And there's some thought that maybe that would upset some conservatives. Can you talk briefly about precedent and why that's important?
Sure. Well, certainly when he was confirmed, he talked about the importance of precedent when he was an appellate court judge. And I think the other thing about Judge Kavanaugh is that, as you know, what you call a judicial conservative, his view is to, in some cases, defer to other branches of government, the branches that do make policy. So sometimes that may lead to a result that he would not himself enact.
David Asp, attorney with Lockridge, Grundahl and Nowen, we really appreciate your thoughts and insight, and hope you come back on the show.
Appreciate the perspective, David.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, sir.
When we get back, Tim Stanley, the executive director of Planned Parenthood for Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota Action Fund, is going to be joining us with why he thinks Judge Kavanaugh should not be confirmed. We'll continue to take your calls on CCO. The political rhetoric is heating up after the suggestion that Judge Brett Kavanaugh be the next Supreme Court justice. We heard from Tim, David Asp, who's an attorney with Lockridge, Grundahl and Nguyen, exactly why he felt that Judge Kavanaugh would be great as a Supreme Court justice. Now we're going to hear from Tim Stanley. Tim is the executive director of Planned Parenthood, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota Action Fund. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tim. Cool.
Hi, everyone. Happy to be here.
You got it. We're also taking calls. Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Your show, too. You get to chime in on what you think of Judge Kavanaugh. So, Tim, tell us, this is your time to be on the air. Why are you against Judge Kavanaugh?
Sure. Here's all we need to know about Brett Kavanaugh. He was nominated by President Trump, who made his litmus test for justices very clear. He'll only appoint justices who would, in his words, automatically overturn Roe versus Wade and who would strike down the Affordable Care Act that would make abortion illegal in this country and leave millions without health care. So Brett Kavanaugh meets the Trump test. Moreover, he meets the test from the two stridently anti-abortion, anti-Roe versus Wade groups, the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation, who basically put together a made-to-order nomination list for the president to choose from. So when you have the nominee meeting the Trump's litmus test and then the litmus test of both the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society, you have a judge who seems to be all aligned against Roe versus Wade, and that it would be stark in its opposition from the American public. The American public, in poll after poll after poll, Republican, Democrat, Independent, they line up saying, we want Roe versus Wade to be upheld. It has been precedent for 45 years. We want Roe versus Wade to remain the law of the land.
Tim, I can't find any evidence that he has at least publicly expressed any kind of outright opposition, though, to Roe versus Wade. Has he?
Well, I don't know if he's got any. We'll have to let the researchers and the senators get to that. And I think that that actually is a really important point, Paul, is I think that we've got to make sure that in the hearing that he can't dodge any questions. We can't allow vague answers to be acceptable. We need to make sure that the nominee is going to uphold and say that he'll uphold the constitutional right to make personal decisions about our bodies and our lives. But I would say he has a record, though. Just last year, he attempted to use his judicial power to prevent a young undocumented woman in U.S. custody from accessing safe and legal abortion. So he is on record against that, and he also is on record against the birth control benefit as the part of the Affordable Care Act. So to me, that tells us why he got the thumbs up from Trump, as well as the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation.
Explain that for us just a little bit. You say against the Birth Control Act. You mean that then companies would have the right not to birth control in their health insurance plans?
That's right, exactly. So he ruled, he wrote a dissenting opinion in the D.C. court on the 2015 ruling on the Affordable Care Act's birth control benefit. And the birth control benefit basically said that as part of the Affordable Care Act, that the otherwise known as Obamacare, women could have access to birth control without a copay. And he wrote in his dissent that he believed employers have the right to deny their employees health insurance coverage for birth control. So this issue cropped up later in the Hobby Lobby decision that was ruled on by the Supreme Court, which Brett Kavanaugh is trying to ascend to.
You know, it's interesting. Our last guest, David Asp, said that, Judge Kavanaugh is an originalist, as many Republicans always want to point. And also he works off precedent. And if Roe v. Wade is the precedent, maybe, and I don't know what the guy's going to do. I don't even know if he's going to get confirmed. But if that's what he's, you know,
he's also
it's
young.
Constitutional to get an abortion right now. And there's precedent for it. You mentioned 45 years of abortion being legal. So if he is the person he says he is, or at least our last guest says he is, maybe he would not necessarily vote
but
to return
would
it
have,
back to the states.
Somebody would have to bring a case.
Of course. Yes,
right,
yes,
to the Supreme Court.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's also young. I mean, you know, Republicans excited about the notion that, you know, here could be a guy who could be on the bench for 30 years, 35 years. So why don't we hang on real quick. We're going to take Jason in Moundsview and get his thoughts. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. First of all, thank you for challenging in the caller on a couple points that were completely fabricated. A lot of this information is just, it's like he crawled out from under a rock and made up half this.
Well, what exactly are you saying, Jason? We can't let you say that until you have facts.
They're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. He's not going to ask them. They're not allowed to even ask them that. That's number one. He never asked them that, quote unquote. The caller said he did. As for paying for birth care or birth control, I'm all for not having to pay for it if I don't want to. I mean, I think that's a great move. If employers want to cover it, fine. If you want birth control, go buy it. You know, pay for it yourself. We're paying for enough stuff in this country that a lot of people don't need. So thank you, Paul, for keeping them honest.
Thank you, Jason. Thanks for tuning in.
And just to clarify, Tim, were you saying that it was President Trump who was in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade or Judge Kavanaugh?
Right. So President Trump had a litmus test that he made very clear that he would only appoint justices who would, in his words, quote, automatically overturn Roe versus Wade. So it seems pretty clear if that was his pledge to the voters who voted for him and his pledge to evangelicals and his pledge to the Heritage Foundation and to the Federalist Society, that we have to take, if we are going to take him at his word, then that's where it falls. You would only find justices who would overturn Roe versus Wade. So that's what I'm saying, and I think that the record is pretty clear, and I think that's why you're finding everyone so not only alarmed by Brett Kavanaugh's appointment, but also just that the vacancy exists at all, because Justice Kennedy was a vote to uphold the holding of Roe versus Wade. Now, he disagreed on some other issues. He went along with the Hobby Lobby decision, among others. However, he was, in the Casey versus Planned Parenthood case, he was with the majority of justices who upheld Roe versus Wade. And so I think that's where we find ourselves now, with the swing justice, Kennedy retiring, the seat to be taken now by someone who is appointed by the president who said that he wants to appoint justices who will overturn Roe versus Wade. I feel like the evidence is pretty clear.
Tim Stanley is executive director of Planned Parenthood and Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota Action Fund. Tim, we appreciate the time and thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Tim.
Of course.
See your calls. A lot of calls. The phone line has lit up. We're going to get to as many of them as possible. We want to hear your thoughts, get your input. Stick around. After Laura's news, we'll have more on this divisive issue coming up on CCO. Okay, Paula Giordana back with you. Happy Tuesday. Thank you for tuning in. Again, trying to present both sides, trying to present as much information as we can and let you make up your own mind.
We had attorney David Asp, who is a big fan of Judge Kavanaugh. And then we had Tim Stanley, the executive director of Planned Parenthood, who said why we should not confirm Judge Kavanaugh. And now we're taking your calls. Terry's been graciously waiting on the line in St. Paul. Hey, Terry, thanks for joining the conversation.
Hey, Terry.
Oh, thank you. I just have a question for some of your callers. People are against women's right to have, birth control and all of that. What about Viagra? They never say what the man's rights are. It's always like, oh, the women have no rights. So I'm just curious.
I could have asked our last caller if he wants insurance to cover Viagra. I hear you on that.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's somebody else who calls in, I guess I could ask him. I thought it was a little
personal. Does insurance cover Viagra?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
Really?
Yes.
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 Good grief.
You can also code that differently. That's a medical dysfunction. So therefore, you have some kind of an ailment. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to die because you can't get an erection, but it is considered a medical ailment. Birth control, I don't know that it's viewed the same way. And you know, Terry, I'm with you, girlfriend, you know, birth control for all. You get an abortion if you want. Like, I'm all for this.
Yeah, it's like.
But I've heard that argument so many times.
But it's not access to birth control. It's who pays for it, right?
Who pays for it.
Right. But it should, I agree, it should be a level playing field.
It
right?
should be a level playing yeah. field.
So I will say that many women are diagnosed with endometriosis and mm-hmm. some acne issues, and many women are prescribed birth control for medical. Non-reproductive reasons.
That's yeah. true.
That's true, Sue, for medical
reasons.
And that's
been around yes. for years that
right.
way.
Endometriosis, she has irregular periods, heavy bleeding, acne. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can prescribe mm-hmm. birth control for. Girlfriend, I'm
Good
with
point.
You, Terry.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
Thanks,
Thank
love.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye.
Appreciate it. John's in Delano. John, you want to jump in here? We're talking everything, you know, abortion, birth control, Viagra. Judge Kavanaugh, bring it on, John.
Thank you for accepting my call. There's two things. First, I am very pro-choice. I totally believe in pro-choice. Secondly, I can tell you from experience, Viagra is not covered by insurance.
It's not, but, really?
No, because it's not a required medication. But anyway, the point I wanted to make is your first guest, in my opinion, was very articulate, knew the law, spoke about the Constitution, mm-hmm. and in my opinion, your second guest strictly was approaching this from a political standpoint, and knowing what you said about his position, it almost seemed like his greatest fear was losing his job. So that's kind of where I'm coming from, but I appreciate accepting my call.
You got it. And, you know, he comes from a position, and he works for Planned Parenthood, so all right. he's thinking about is women's reproductive rights, whether it is abortion or if it's, you know, women's health care or access to health care.
He also paid his salary.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
yeah.
All of those things are true, John. Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Thank you,
you
sir.
By the way, I just looked this up on the interwebs. Mm-hmm. CVS pharmacies will continue to carry Viagra for customers who are covered under different insurance plans or who pay for the drug out of pocket. Its competitor, Express Scripts, the largest pharmacy benefit manager, plans to continue to cover Viagra, and Cialis does not cover Levitra. So
it is covered under some plans, yeah. maybe not your personal plan, depending on your insurance.
It varies from plan to plan.
Right. I think birth control is the same way. Some birth control is covered, right. others is not. It certainly depends on your plan. Sheila's in Minneapolis. By the way, we want to let you know that Tina Smith is going to be joining us. Senator Tina Smith is going to be weighing in on all of this
at 5:50.
In just a few minutes. Yep. Yes. Sheila's in Minneapolis. Sheila, thanks for the call. Thanks for weighing in.
You bet. So you guys kind of touched on it already. I just get frustrated when people say the birth control. It's used for so many other things mm-hmm. than for birth control, so many other things. And the other thing I have is that there's so many other issues going around this world. Why do we have to keep worrying about this Roe versus Wade? We dealt with that years ago. Let's move on in life and get something else taken care of. This is beating an old, you know, thing over and over again. Let's move on.
Good perspective.
That's just where I'm coming from. It's like, come on, this is enough.
We got new problems, right, hon?
Exactly. It's like, yeah. There's so many other things. Let's move on. It's just, you know, these old men and women are sitting there doing nothing. Let's find out something, get some new blood in this place and burn things up that way, if you will. But thanks for your time. Bye.
I hear you, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila.
I hear you. And I get nervous, you know, if the government was telling me what to do, what I could do with my body. Mm-hmm. And yet this is a moral, ethical, spiritual quandary for a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, who don't see it, who don't see abortion as birth control.
Right.
So I won't go into those weeds. But
yeah, it's a tough conversation to have because you don't change minds about things like that. We want you to feel heard, but it's really, this is a conversation not necessarily for the radio. You know, yes, abortion, no abortion. It's really hard to change people's minds because they're so entrenched in their beliefs, which they are entitled to because this is America and it's a great country and you get to believe whatever you want to believe. Thank
right.
God. Thank yeah. God. It's 5:47. Let's take a break now because we do have Tina Smith. We are going to ask her about what she thinks about Judge Kavanaugh. But you know what? Here on the Paul and Jordana Show, we value your opinion. We respect your thoughts. And we always want you to feel like there's a safe place for you to call in. So thank you for the calls and for listening. Welcome back. Welcome back. Jordana and Paul here. Very glad to have our own Senator Tina Smith on the line with us. Tina, thank you for joining us. We know how busy you are.
Hey,
Hi,
Senator.
Good to be with you. Hi.
So we wanted to get your reaction about the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, thank you very much for it. It's good to be with you today. And, you know, I am very, very concerned about this this suggested appointment from the president. I can't support him. This is such a pivotal moment in our country. These decisions about who serves on the Supreme Court are going to be with us for decades. And I'm really bothered that the president has chosen Judge Kavanaugh from this list that comes from a list that was basically put together by very partisan ideological groups and that have sort of already pledged. The president said, I'm not going to appoint somebody who won't be, I'm sure, will overturn women's basic reproductive health care. And also that this judge, he seems quite dedicated to overturning some of the basic consumer protections that we have, like making sure that insurance companies give you coverage even if you're already sick. This is a really important thing, and I'm very worried about it. I wish we had a consensus pick here, somebody that Democrats and Republicans and, you know, the majority of us could agree to.
Senator, there have been 113 Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. All but six have been white men. Are you disappointed that the president didn't pick a woman?
Well, Paul, it's a really good point. And we were just looking earlier today at how the Supreme Court has a lot more diversity than it ever did before. And I wish that we could continue down that path. But people's trust, I think, in their institutions, including the Supreme Court and the Senate and the House, is if they feel that the folks there really represent them and understand their lives. And that's why I think it's another worry.
Judge Kavanaugh has been known to, well, he claims that he votes on precedent. There's precedent for Roe v. Wade. There's precedent for the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a chance he will uphold the precedent and maybe not, it won't be as dire as you make it seem to be?
Well, the thing is, it's a great question. The thing is that people say that they support precedent and then they make the kinds of decisions that the Supreme Court made a couple of weeks ago, where they overturned precedent when it came to the rights of people to organize on their workplaces, and so I think that we're really going to be looking to just Judge Kavanaugh to be answering questions and really answering questions. There's another thing that I want to mention that I think should give all of us a lot of concern. Judge Kavanaugh, in his writings, has said that the president shouldn't be subject to any kind of criminal investigation or any investigation when he is in office. And that is, I don't think that the president or any of us should be above the law. Yet that is what Judge Kavanaugh has written. That's sort of a third strike against him and causes me to be very worried.
It's an interesting point that you bring up. We had a guest who said that the writings were meant for Congress, that the writings
said that Congress should make that law.
Do you think that was spin or do you think there's merit in that?
Well, I think that we're going to have to all take a really, really hard look at all of the things that he's written. But I think that that's important. But I mean, I go back to the president. I take the president as his word. During the campaign, many times he says, I'm going to appoint justices that that will absolutely overturn Roe versus Wade, which protects women's right to privacy when it comes to making their own personal health care decisions, and a justice who will overturn the basic consumer protections in the Affordable Care Act. And I don't think that's what we need. We need judges who are going to uphold the Constitution. They're going to stand up for all of our rights.
Senator Tina Smith, we know how busy you are. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much. Happy to have a chance to visit with you.
You got it. We always ask for our senators to come on the show. We asked Senator Amy Klobuchar as well. She will hopefully be joining us a little bit later in the week.
That's right.
That's right. Big NATO meeting that is currently, well, they're sleeping over in Europe now, so currently going to happen tomorrow. We'll be updating you on that here on the show. The president is getting some harsh words over in the EU, but we'll see how he responds and how it goes down.
It's going to be interesting. We'll have the latest for you tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.